What about all those other gods? Has been a question that millions of Americans have asked. Are they real? Are they false?
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we deal with one of the most contentious issues in America today, immigration.
America has always welcomed immigrants, but you have to come through the front door.
How would the Lord have us balance compassion and security when it comes to immigration?
What we must recognize in the immigration debate is that oftentimes things are said which I believe are unbiblical, even if the Bible might be quoted.
We'll investigate this divisive issue from a biblical perspective on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. There is no more fiercely contested issue in America today than immigration. Does a Christian position on immigration demand that we simply throw open the doors wide in the name of compassion? On today's program, we'll investigate these crucial questions. Pastor Erwin Lutzer will join us to offer a thoroughly biblical perspective. And we will share with you a resource that sheds light on how the church should be a light in the darkness on this and a host of other issues. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a look at this very heated issue.
Do we have a commitment to secure the border? Yes. What are the options that we have available to us? Let's make sure they work. Because we do, while we need to address the issue of immigration and the challenge we have of undocumented people in our country, we certainly don't want any more coming in.
Today I come to the floor to seek unanimous consent to pass a smart, tough, an effective $600 million bill that will significantly enhance the security and integrity of our nation's border, which currently lacks the resources needed to fully combat the drug smugglers, gun runners, human traffickers, money launderers, and other organized criminals that seek to do harm to innocent Americans along our border.
Today, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are singing a different tune now that Trump is president. Meanwhile, the conflict over the border is heating up as wave after wave of migrants are working their way through Mexico to try to get into America. How do Christians balance compassion with the proper biblical duties of a government?
Should a nation be able to define its own borders and secure those borders so that the nation makes the decision of who comes in and when they come in? Well, that's the very definition of a nation.
Today in this country, you have estimates of 10 to 12 million people are living here illegally. But many people actually believe that number is much closer to 20, 25 million. Let's fix the border issue first, fix our immigration, broken immigration system first. Then we can talk about what we do with folks who've come here illegally.
One of the federal government's jobs is to come up with a uniform system of laws governing immigration and naturalization, and to make sure that people from outside of our country don't come into our country illegally. It's not doing that job as effectively right now as it has at other times in the past.
But don't we have an obligation to help everyone who wants to come in, ask some people, in the name of compassion, in the name of Christ?
Some Christians are saying, look, as a matter of love for our neighbor, which knows no national boundaries, after all, that's the point of the parable of the Good Samaritan, is that we should love people who aren't of our own ethnicity, right? As a matter of expression of love of neighbor, we should have open borders. What they fail to recognize is that God ordains the state to enforce justice through a combination of what we might call national defense, that is, defending citizens against invasion from outside, right? and law enforcement, defending citizens against crime by their neighbors. And unfortunately, we've got some evangelicals who are lining up in favor of unrestricted immigration and who don't recognize that some immigrants can constitute a significant threat.
Another concern about open borders from a biblical perspective is the very real threat from Islamic radicals. It may be a small number, perhaps, but we saw on 9/11 how only 19 terrorists were able to kill thousands and disrupt the lives of hundreds of millions in a matter of hours.
Some of the immigrants coming into the United States and Europe do have nefarious ends and are actually consciously setting out to conquer and to destroy and to commit terrorist acts or set in place infrastructure to advance Sharia.
There's an internal memorandum which was seized by the FBI from a Muslim Brotherhood operative in the United States, describing how those in the United States saw their work in America and the West. And what they regarded themselves as up to was what they called a grand jihad aimed at the elimination and destruction of Western civilization from within by sabotage. And that is what the mission of the Muslim Brotherhood and its tentacles in the United States is.
America has always welcomed immigrants, but you have to come through the front door. There's no country in the world that would not protect its borders. This is insanity. It's madness. Either people, I have to believe, they hate America and want to destroy America, or have other motives, which it can only be evil, because the scripture is very clear. In Romans 13, it says that the government is to protect the citizenry. They're not to get involved in, it doesn't talk about anything else, education or that or that or the other thing. It's to protect the citizens. That's the number one job, is to protect the citizens of the country. And unfortunately, those people who claim to believe the Bible in leadership, they're not obeying that part of the Bible.
How do we live in a culture that perceives our light as darkness? That's the question.
How will you respond faithfully when faced with the transgender phenomenon, growing socialism, and false gospels? Dr. Erwin Lutzer lays out a roadmap to navigate these challenges and more in his book, The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be a Light in the Darkness.
What are those elements that are needed for a church to actually survive in Babylon, and not just survive, but also thrive in Babylon?
Contact us today to receive your copy of The Church in Babylon. This book will help equip you to stand for God in a culture that rejects Him.
When we discuss immigration, it's no small matter to investigate beliefs someone brings with them to our shores. The Judeo-Christian tradition has been a blessing to civilization, but other worldviews with other views of God sometimes produce unpleasant and even dangerous environments. I'm joined now by the daughter of Dr. D. James Kennedy and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad knew that basic beliefs are what drive everything in our lives.
He did. He knew that whether someone worshiped the true God or false gods would lead them to a very different place. It's not politically correct to say today, but what someone truly believes about God will determine what he believes about everything else, including the person who purports to believe there is no God. The reformer John Calvin said that man is incurably religious. It isn't a matter of whether we'll worship, but what we'll worship. The Apostle Paul's indictment of the unbelieving world was that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. The virtues of the Western world, including freedom, the elevation of women, and education for all, came from the Judeo-Christian view of God. What we worship really matters, as my father shares in this portion of his message. What about these other gods?
What about all those other gods? Has been a question that millions of Americans have asked. Are they real? Are they false? What should we think? Well, some people have said, well, you see, there's really just one religion, and with different faces, and we're all basically going to the same God through different paths. And this was a way that we could sort of tone down any conflicts that might exist. But then people began to look at them a little bit more carefully. And we discover that of those three, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam, that Islam is a radical monotheistic religion, which means that it believes very definitely in only one God and makes no room in that unitary God for even the Christian Trinity. Whereas right next door, where Islam abuts India, we have Hinduism, where there have anywhere from 300,000 to 3 million gods. Nobody really knows for sure. But if you keep going east, you run into Buddhism, and they have no god at all, at least most of them. Some, however, couldn't quite handle that, so eventually they tried to make a god out of Buddha. But for the most part, they are skeptical about the question of God, as Buddha was. Erwin Lutzer, in an excellent text, says, "I believe that the scriptures require us to view other religions as the flawed attempts of man to reach God through human effort and insight." Jesus, you may recall in the Gospel of John, says that I am the good shepherd that layeth down my life for the sheep. No one else laid down his life for any sheep but Jesus. All of those thousands of other pagan religions all base finally their view upon what things we do. Saying so many prayers, doing this, doing that, and the other thing. It all gets down to self. And ultimately, what do all of those religions believe in? They believe in self. They will be their own savior because they have none other. And they will save themselves by their good works because there is no other way. There is no divine redeemer that came from heaven. There is no divine savior that went to a cross and took upon himself the guilt of our sins and endured the wrath of his Father in our place and paid for the penalty of our sin and offers freely to us the gift of eternal life. Totally different. And marvelously free and offered to all, graciously and lovingly it is offered to everyone.
False views of God have brought us some very dangerous things, not the least of which is radical Islamic terrorism. That is a big part of the reason why we have such a heated immigration discussion in America today, because of the desire for compassion on the one side, and on the other side, the recognition that our national security is jeopardized by those who reject concepts like freedom and the distinction between church and state. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, is one of America's most respected pastors. And he's joining us all month to discuss these vital issues. Today, we look at the immigration debate in America. Let's talk about immigration a little bit.
The reason I wrote a chapter on immigration in my book, what sparked it, first of all, the book begins with talking about Islam's view of immigration that we might be able to get to. But I wrote it because I heard a pastor say, in effect, well, the gospel is for everybody, so open borders would be consistent with the gospel.
Wow. There's a leap.
There's a leap, and it's a very, very dangerous leap and very naive leap. What I try to do in the book is to show the difference between the role of the state and the role of the church. And if we confuse the two, we're going to be talking foolishness regarding the immigration system and the immigration issue. The role of the state is to preserve order. It is to protect borders. The role of the church is entirely different. The role of the church welcomes everyone. I point out in the book that someone has well said that when the Good Samaritan found the man bleeding along the side of the road, he didn't say, well, are you here legally? What religion are you? Who do you belong to? We help anyone. And I give examples of churches that are doing marvelous things with refugees from Syria and elsewhere. They are welcoming them into their homes. They're building relationships. They're helping them find jobs and go for various government agencies and opportunities. That's the role of the church, but it's not the role of the state. And if we confuse the two, we're going to be saying some things that are very, very unwise.
You have written extensively about Islam. There's a real interesting strategic issue related to immigration and Islam. Tell us about that.
It's very important for us to realize that when it comes to Islam, there's a different understanding of what their agenda is. In my book, I quote Andrew McCarthy, one of the most decorated men in Washington, actually, when it comes to understanding Islam and issues related to it, in which he says that we are deceiving ourselves because we don't have many terror attacks. We think that there is nothing to fear when it comes to Islam. He said, this is national suicide. Because Islam's strategy is not terrorism, because terrorism has a backlash. Let's go back to 2003 when the FBI uncovered Islam's plan for America, the Brotherhood plan for America. Mm-hmm. It does not include terrorism. But what is one of its opening statements? I paraphrase, and it says, by means of expanding Islam's presence through immigration without assimilating into the culture. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Because what you have is a strategy of gradualism. The strategy is called civilizational jihad. And then it goes on through and shows all the things that they want to do. It's a 12-point program, which I have read. I'm sure that it is online. People can read it for themselves. And what does it have to do? The slow transforming of America's cultural institutions in favor of Islam. And if you want to know how this is being done, just look at England today.
Immigration changed the face of the nation. And Sharia law is taking precedence in many quarters over English common law.
Years ago, my wife and I arrived in England and we picked up a morning paper and the headline was Sharia law now practiced in 87 different enclaves in England. Now, this was many years ago, and we were there more recently, and the number is far higher than that. And what you have is Sharia law, which conflicts with English law, which conflicts, of course, with American law and its freedoms. That is being assimilated. And this document that the FBI uncovered points out that, first of all, Sharia law has to be insisted upon within Muslim enclaves, but then, of course, it is to spread throughout the rest of the country. And it is happening gradually, step by step. The fact is that America was founded with the idea that we can indeed have different religions, but we must accept the basic protections and guidance of the Constitution. But you have people coming to be here in America who don't accept the Constitution. How long can that happen before there are some very serious consequences? That's an issue that all of us must discuss and think about.
Let's talk about the spiritual dimension of immigration. Isn't immigration an opportunity for the church to witness to Muslims in particular?
I have often preached that we used to send people to the nations to share the gospel. Now God is bringing the nations to us. Yeah. And that's the role of the church. And that's why I salute those churches that have great ministries to Muslim and other immigrants, because that's our opportunity. So when people come into your neighborhood from a different country with a different religion, what is your responsibility as a Christian? Build bridges. Welcome them to your home. Let's make sure that we do all that we can to help them. That's our privilege. And God is saying, I'm bringing the nations to you. If we understood that, Frank, in many respects, this could be the church's finest hour.
In an age of sound bites and social media outrage, calm biblical pastoral reasoning can be hard to come by. But as you've just seen, that's exactly what Dr. Erwin Lutzer offers. On today's program, he discussed immigration, and he's just written a new book that deals with this and a number of other pressing issues. It's called The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be a Light in the Darkness. And we want to send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. This powerful, incisive book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer pulls it all together for us, showing how we have become like Babylon, where the Christian faith is unwelcome, and where evil is now called good, and good is now called evil. But he doesn't just lament the darkness. He also shines a light, providing a roadmap for living, working, witnessing, and changing our nation. The book contains chapters on transgenderism, Islam and immigration, false gospels that have infected even the evangelical church, and many more. Learn how to be salt and light in a culture that is increasingly resistant to truth, carrying the gospel message with you as you go. Receive The Church in Babylon by Dr. Erwin Lutzer as our thanks for your generous donation. And if you are able to give a donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book plus the new exclusive DVD program, Shining Light in a Dark World. In this special DVD, Dr. Lutzer talks about all of these important issues in his wise and pastoral way. You saw a small portion of our discussion dealing with immigration on today's program. In the full DVD, Shining Light in a Dark World, you'll see him discuss a myriad of compelling subjects in his articulate and winsome way. That's the book, The Church in Babylon, plus the DVD, Shining Light in a Dark World, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. And as you give, you are helping us to shine that light via the Lifetime Channel and numerous other nationwide TV networks, as well as training Christian leaders, fighting back against the anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center in federal court, and much more. So please, write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Every American, including every Christian, needs to be familiar with a term found within Islam. It's called al-Hijra, and it refers to immigration. At the heart of the spread of Islam is the notion that Muhammad emigrated from Mecca to Medina, where he eventually slaughtered hundreds of Jews for not accepting him as a new prophet of God. Today, what al-Hijra refers to is the idea of Muslims emigrating into liberal democracies in order not to assimilate, but to ultimately take over. Certainly, there are many peace-loving Muslims in the world that come to our shores in order to escape from the chaos they find in their native Islamic lands, where jihad, so-called holy warfare, and strict Islamic Sharia law reign supreme. They want to experience the freedom that the Judeo-Christian tradition has given the West. And we welcome any who go through the full legal immigration process and unreservedly affirm allegiance to our American constitutional tradition, which is diametrically opposed to Sharia law. But we would be naive to deny that there are some, even if they are a minority, who are committed to importing radical Islam in through a means of immigration. Those committed to this ideology take advantage of our laws and loopholes to try to claim America for Allah. One such leader said, "The day will come when the black flag of Islam will wave over the White House instead of the American flag." Now that may sound preposterous to you, but we should always remember that 9/11, the attacks on New York and Washington, were pulled off by only 19 very committed radical Islamists. America's immigration policy must be compassionate, but not suicidal. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Jesus didn't call us to be the sugar of the world. He called us to be the salt of the earth.
So what we need to do is to lovingly help people see their sin and then show them the matchless, undeserved, glorious grace of God.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.